Welcome to Get This Shit, the bi-monthly podcast that answers the questions you've always had, but forgot to ask. Prepare your earballs.
Why, hello, and welcome to another episode of Get This Shit. My name is Cassie, I'm your host, and I'm joined here today by, I was using thesaurus.com earlier today and should have prepared for this moment a bit better. We are not sponsored by them, but we could, the next thesaurus.com sponsor could be our co-host, Samuel.
I'm not sure how to react to that introduction.
I psyched myself out, my dude. Tell. I was like, I've forgotten every adjective I know.
Magna Florius.
He is supercalifragilistic. Mm-hmm. Extra on that allidocious.
Expialidocious.
Yeah, but you got it. It worked.
It's expiest of all dociousness.
You know what? I take back one dosha. Just for the trouble that you've caused.
Oh, good Lord. I should take an annoyingly loud sip of this coffee just to annoy you during editing.
Thank you for being not only a great partner in this game that we call life, but also this podcast.
Why are you God, I wish we did have a camera out because she was moving her arms as if she was performing slam poetry for no reason. And slam poetry,
really,
but like a bad characterization of it from like the poetry. Early 2000s. Yes.
I don't know. We watched fucking Lamorne. Oh, what's his last name from New
Morris.
Girl? Lamorne Morris doing Denzel Washington impressions, and I think that was
the you milk channeling tea of... the spirit. That's not. He doesn't even do. I mean, maybe if you had a cigarette in your hand.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, try harder.
You know what? My promise to you, Samuel, and to you listeners, is to get better at my Denzel Washington impression.
Are you going to have it by next episode?
No. This is going to take a minute to curate. Mm-hmm. A moment,
sure.
If you will.
Yeah, I could see it happening in the next, like, decade.
I got to start smoking right now. I've been behind on it.
That's the key to your success.
You don't think so?
No. I think... it would be trying to sound like Denzel Washington.
Well, if you're so full of ideas, what do you want to talk about?
Hey.
Oh, my God. I'm already behind.
Yeah, I at least got his hey.
Oh, my God. So funny. Sam and I have been listening to a new podcast. Sam, more than I, he has... indoctrinated me into it.
Well, I also have the ability to like listen to shit at work more so than you.
Yeah, I just listen to loud crashes.
So like I can binge like throughout the day.
Yeah, for sure.
And also my brain works differently to where like I can...
Bro, you retain everything.
Yeah, I can work and like it soaks in. It's not like I have to like stop and back up a bunch.
Apparently am knowledge phobic. Like it just fucking repels itself off of me.
You need to take the I step again.
Oh my God. What the fuck did I say that about?
Oh, I'm not sure you want to say it on the podcast.
Oh, well, then. I was talking about reading comprehension and that I probably
should take a second.
Yeah,
an extra
could
second.
Use a refresher in the I step, and sure. Sam was like, I don't know about that. And then I said, No Child Left Behind.
It was quite funny.
Thank you. Yeah. No, misread a work message. Not great. When you're an idiot in your responses. So it's fine. I changed my... Never mind. We're going back.
Okay.
To the fuck did I say?
I don't know. Some you were How trying we to here? Sound like Denzel. I don't.
Denzel, the podcast that you've been listening to, the new one.
Yeah, we're here to help with Jake Johnson and Gareth Reynolds.
So if you don't know who Jake Johnson is, he's Nick from New Girl, and he's also in everything else, like
and
a bunch of
stuff. If you don't know Gareth Reynolds, he is Brian, the security guard in season 7 of New Girl.
Yes, Brian, the security guard. He's also a comedian and podcast host. Mm-hmm. It is very funny. Sammy, you have to explain it. You need to talk. I talked a lot. Okay. You more words, me less. Oh,
you got it, Sister Sue. So we're here to help. I don't think they need a plug from us, but if they get a bump, you guys are welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So it's an advice podcast.
Yeah.
Where people call in and ask for advice. And
from two comedians. And two middle-aged comedians.
Yeah, and they get advice from Jake Johnson and Gareth fucking Reynolds. They're like, it's advice. I think the tagline is, it's advice that's free and also feels free.
And also feels free. If
Quite
you,
humorous.
If you need your frown turned upside down, I don't know that, A, there's a bad episode. But
and there's a couple.
Are there?
Not bad, but not great.
Sure, sure, sure. Mm. Well, it's hard when you got a bunch of bangers in a row, man.
Yeah.
You know? But one of the topics there has been is about a rivalry between D&D characters.
Yeah, that one starts on the first episode.
Okay. It is probably one of the funniest stories I have heard in a very long time. And please remember, for 15 fucking years, it was my job to literally talk to people, like, about anything and everything. So, like, I have talked to people about weird fucking shit while I'm cutting their hair. And I'm like, Shannon, I don't know that you share that in the salon. Right. There are other people here. But
is it good? Is this a good length for your shortest layer? Yeah? Okay, cool. And then he did what with his secretary?
I mean, I wish. I had some guy, he was sweating buckets, and I was like, are you all right, man? Because he was like squirming around and shit. I'm in my early 20s, and I was like, I remember when I was like that. And seems as if you didn't take enough of something. Or it's been too long in between.
Gotcha.
He was very sweaty, moving around.
I was
and
thinking,
I was like, buddy, that he was jacking off. Nah, we had that at beauty school. But yeah, I know. It's gross. People are gross out there. Okay. Yeah, but no, he was like, man, I love Vicodin and I just hate what it does to me. It just fucking makes me sweat. And I was like, all right. So that's cool. Yeah. This is great. Like, all right.
There's kids in the lobby.
Oh, yeah. He had his kids with him. Yeah, it was dope.
Cool.
Guys, we've mentioned that we live in Indiana. So, like.
Yeah, no, none of this is
it's
surprising.
It's Indiana. It's very. It is. It's giving Indiana.
Well, it's more giving. Yeah.
Serving Hoosier. But. The podcast, if you need a laugh, fucking go check that one out when,
it's pretty good. Yeah.
You know, after you're caught up here.
Right, yeah.
Don't abandon us yet.
Make sure you get through our backlog before you leave us.
Yeah. Please.
We need it. Help us.
Help. I'm trying to think. Oh, we went to... if you're not familiar, one of the biggest attractions in central Indiana is the Children's Museum. It's
pretty cool.
Super fucking dope.
We have
dope.
Dinosaurs and we have a giant bumblebee.
Yeah. Not a Transformer bumblebee. Not like a yellow jacket.
Not a lame fuck ass insect, okay? No.
Fuck ass bee.
All right. No. We got fucking main homie Autobots fucking protecting our children at our museums. And fuck your other fucking children's museums across the country. Ours is better. Suck it.
Gosh. Would it be
weird? We have
weird?
Terracotta warriors, bitch.
Yeah. You got a paleontology pit?
We stole those from fucking China, all right?
Don't tell anybody.
I think it would be really cool to take a tour of the U.S.'s like children's museums. But is it weird if we don't have kids?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I knew exactly where the question was going, and I didn't want to seem rude by saying
jumping the gun.
Yeah.
Tour. Yeah. Well, we weren't around children. We did go to the 21 and over event.
You're
it's
not
like,
allowed, but.
Oh my god! It was super cool. They had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle exhibit, mm-hmm. and then they also had an Inside Out exhibit mm-hmm. that had like you could like make your own little memories.
Inside
like,
Out referencing the like Disney Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Just like it's not a normal exhibit. It's Inside Out. No,
you know that the Bodies exhibit, but for children.
Man, I never got to see the Bodies.
You
exhibit.
Didn't? My mom took Katie and I. It was in Circle Center Mall.
So jealous,
bruh. It was.
I would have
cool.
loved it.
It was so cool. I was a teenager. Yeah, I was a late teenager. It was dope, man. But then we learned more about it, and they weren't procured in the most ethically dope of ways.
Yeah, well, so, no. 90% of medical science has been advanced through not dopely ethical ways.
They're just grave robbers still. Like, I mean, it's like, just a little bit more advanced now.
If anything, it's just being more authentic to
there have been so many funeral homes and things like that in the news lately across the U.S. at least. With just like fucking negligent shit. Just fucking not doing stuff and just having like bodies out in the open. And, you know, just.
As long as you're not contaminating my groundwater or fucking up the water table in my neighborhood, I really don't give a shit.
I mean.
I'm dead. I don't care.
That's not a wrong way of thinking, I think. But.
In
if it was a loved one of mine, like that would suck. Like even though I agree, once your soul or your consciousness or whatever you want to say leaves your body, your meat sack is just meat sack, mm-hmm. and like that's cool and all. But like because of how we as humans try to distinguish ourselves from the animals and what have you, like treating a corpse badly is not cool to me. Like that is one of my values. Like it's not cool. Like don't do that. Just we live now. You don't have to do that. And I mean, there are plenty of people who donate their body to science and whatnot, but. And we've also never had more people in the world, so
yeah,
there's plenty to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be weird. Do what you're gonna say you're gonna do with the body.
No,
bury
I mean,
it or yeah. you know, like do it. Don't be weird.
Be weird as long as it doesn't affect other people negatively.
Yeah,
is that better?
Love it. I think we've solved it.
There
well,
we go.
All right, guys,
well,
we're gonna.
This is cool. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been a great episode. We're gonna go ahead while we're ahead.
Sorry, we had so much show to slog through, but thanks for sticking with us.
Bless. Hashtag bless.
I do have a slight update from one of our previous topics.
Oh, yeah,
not
yeah,
really
yeah.
update, kind of anecdote.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
one.
Make it into a limerick.
Are you all right?
I don't know. I was jazzed when you told me.
You are jazzed, yeah. So, one of my coworkers was telling me about how he, in the late 90s, he was working with this chick.
Ah.
At a retail store. And he was like, yeah, I was an outgoing kid, you know, like 19 or 20 at the time. And, you know, just kind of happy-go-lucky outgoing guy. I like to talk with people, make jokes. And had this coworker, her name was Marnie. And she would...
I love the name Marnie, by the way. Love it.
And he was like, you know, but she was quiet, you know, kind of kept to herself. She would engage with me in conversation a little bit, but, you know, just kind of short answers, nothing like, and to the point.
They're not having deep philosophical.
Right. Or even just like jovial back and forth or whatever.
Jackurer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was like, he went to one of his other coworkers. He'd be like, hey, so what's Marnie's deal? Like, she seems pretty quiet and. Just, you know, real reserved. Like, what's going on there? And his coworker was like, dude, do you not know? And he was like, no, what? Oh my God. He goes, her dad was the Fox Hollow killer. And I respond, her fucking Baumeister! And he was like, oh, so you've heard.
So you've heard. Her.
And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. We did an episode of our podcast on fucking her Baumeister.
The Baumeister.
And he was like, yeah, I worked with Marnie Baumeister. Like, he's
so
like,
what does that make you? Like 3-4 times removed from Herb?
Right. And as long as he's within 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon, bing, bam, boom, there it is.
There you are. We're right there. Uncle Bacon.
Right.
We're right there. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we live close enough, you know? It would make sense, like, within...
Right, yeah.
I lost the word I was going to say. I was like...
Vicinity?
Yeah,
but it was going to come out proximity, and I was like, no.
I mean, you're almost there.
Vincenzity.
Yes. Proximity? Maybe that's what I was going for. And we live... We're close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. Apparently sweet girl. Like, you know.
I'd probably be.
Just kind of reserved, kept herself. I'm like, yeah, I probably
would
too.
Well, she wasn't there in the end of, like, when it all shook down. Because, like, they were. Like,
yeah, I think they were staying at, like,
his
mom's house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wife and kids bounced. So. Yeah. Awkward.
Right. How was that indoor pool?
Could you imagine being a kid and not being able to use that indoor pool?
Can you imagine watching him set it up and going, hey, Dad, is everything all right? Yeah, we're just having a party. Oh, my God, it's so fun. Look at him. Everyone's having a good time. He's got some. This guy's got a surfboard. It's an indoor pool. Oh, my God.
Crazy. Yeah. It's as if
it's
a bad mushroom trip, but put inside of the Home Alone where he has all the thingies dancing and
oh,
pulleys
yeah.
and whatnot. Uh-huh. It's that, but a very bad trip.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Oh, Lord. Speaking of bad trip, it's kind of adjacent. We'll call it a parallel slant or whatever it's called. Slanted.
Well, if it's... Okay.
Any hoozles. Any hoozlebees. So...
God, we're great at segues.
Oh, my God. I don't generally remember my dreams or have nightmares or things like that. I do suffer from the occasional sleep paralysis, which I'm pretty sure I've talked before about it.
Is this where you're going with parallel for your segue?
Yeah.
Paralysis.
Yeah, you got it.
Boom. Name of the episode, paralysis.
Or was it bad trip into nightmare?
Yeah, bad trip into nightmare. Okay,
gotcha.
But I have had 2 nightmares as of, like, rather recently, and turns out I still make the same sound, the same terrible sound that I make when I'm trying to wake myself up in a sleep paralysis. But yeah, man, I don't know which one I would rather have anymore, because the nightmare, like, if you hadn't have woken me up, like, it would have continued. I don't know that I was waking up, but with sleep paralysis, like, I know that it will end. Like,
Sure.
I don't know. I've had it happen so many times now that, like, I can kind of tell when it's wrapping up. Like, it's still scary and, like, my brain does weird stuff to me, you know? But I think those are almost easier to handle because I don't have nightmares or dreams very often.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to that shit. When I first got a sleep apnea machine before I got my tonsils taken out, I dreamed so vividly for the first time in my life since I was like a kiddo. And I was just like, this is for the birds. How do any of you all sleep? Like, how do you get rest? Because, like, I am just throughout my dreams. And then, I don't know.
You just masturbate in your dreams all the time?
Yep, that sure do. Don't you?
No, it always, I don't know, always cuts out before the good part.
I mean, I think that that's dream logic, you know, that's dream math.
Yeah, I can't even cheat on you in my dreams.
No, you are, you're crazy monogamous. Hey, I'm not going to complain. I appreciate
you. There you go.
Your dedication is noted and appreciated.
Even in my dreams, I have golden retriever energy.
You do. You do. You poor doodle. All right. Well, I don't know that we discussed this pre-production.
You didn't.
But do you want to go?
Why don't you go?
Me go?
Yeah. And then I'll go.
Okay. Sounds like a plan, Stan.
Who's Stan? My Stan?
I mean, Sam. Okay, well, this is a listener suggested topic.
Do you know which listener suggested?
Sure don't. Guess who fucking didn't put that down? Yep. So you know who you are. Thank you so much. I suspect it's Anne, Haley, or Jackie. So claim your prize underneath episode 84.
Nope,
30. Yep. We got to go back
down. It's an Easter egg.
Yeah. Episode 84 on Instagram. Claim your prize in the comment section. Okay. Thank you.
It was me.
It was I. And we do at GTS look at your Instagram stuff. Like, if you send stuff in, suggestions.
Yeah, we stalk or you. And
email. We, I mean.
Make sure to.
I don't know that I'd like to be a part of your royal we over there. Mine are legal. I got legal we's over here. But I have for you a spot of history.
Okay.
And a list of terribleness.
Cool.
Okay?
These are. I usually combine the two. Into a spot of terribleness in history, generally.
But. Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
But, yeah, let's take a look at your separation here.
Cool. So, Sam, have you ever participated in the...
Yes.
in the process and act of canning or jarring?
No.
No? Okay, well, it is super easy.
Yeah.
Anymore. But it did not always used to did be super easy.
Right.
Right?
Before ball mason jars, yeah.
Very much so. I mean, ball mason jars are they have a huge
impact
in this industry. Mm-hmm. And we'll also hear names like Kerr. They make mason jars as well, or they're called something else.
Yeah, because they don't have a college name after them.
That's hilarious. You're not wrong. But yeah, so before we had canned or jarred food like we do that we can preserve,
sure,
we used salt.
Yeah, just salt the fuck out of it.
Salt, yeah, salted meats and hardtack.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
So the world's worst lambus bread. All right.
Yes. I was going for a spit take, but
you were so close.
I'll keep the choky bit. I like it. Oh, I got that.
It came out weird.
Yeah. I didn't like it. Sorry, anyway. Guys. So, in 1795, Napoleon Bonaparte offered a reward for whoever could develop a safe, reliable food prevention method. Food preservation. Nope. Yeah, that's what it says. Food preservation. Oh, Lord. Guys, food preservation method
You're
for his constantly.
Day,
I know, man. It was a big day.
It was.
It was a big day at the ranch the gals. I'll tell you later if I remember. Okay. All right. And I'm hitting you guys for that. Any of this. So Napoleon was like, I got to feed this fucking army and they're tired of salted meats
and
heart attack.
Also trying to invade Russia and they keep retreating and burning the supplies on their retreat back to Moscow and we're running out of shit.
They're so much better at war than I. No!
And we keep getting farther and farther away from our... like our supply trains have to keep getting longer and longer, so the food's got to last longer and longer.
Yeah, man. It's chilly out there. I don't know what to tell you. So, Nicholas Appert took on this challenge, and about 15 years after it was first challenged, he introduced a method that involved heat processing food in glass jars, mm-hmm. reinforced with wire and sealing them with wax.
Oh, okay.
He also invented bouillon cubes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My mother is a person that uses bouillon cubes or Beyond Bouillon or
better
whatever.
Than bouillon.
Yeah, there we go.
Stay out of that Beyond section.
The next breakthrough was the first true canning. By 1810, an Englishman, Peter Durand, had introduced a method for sealing food in unbreakable tin cans. The first...
Then how are you supposed to get it?
If it's on... Beavers. That's what the beaver drops were for. No, they have pocket knives, you jack and knife. You were just being a dick.
Yes.
Never mind.
You said unbreakable. It's like if nothing sticks
just
to
like
Teflon.
Just like a Nalgene. Just like a Nalgene. Fucking run that shit over.
Nothing sticks to Teflon. How do they get the Teflon to stick to the pan? Hey, guys, cut it out.
Cut it out. Get out of here, Uncle Danny. Was that his name?
Dave Coulier.
Yeah, no, I know, but his name
don't
on the
know.
Show. All right.
It wasn't Uncle Jesse, because that was...
Stamos.
Yeah, Stamos.
With the
Bieber hair, yeah.
Yeah. He did have the... Yeah. Anywho, so fucking bees, Samuel. The first commercial canning establishment in the U.S. was started in 1812.
So 2 years after.
So 2 years after.
Cool.
It wasn't until... Yep, it wasn't until almost a century... After Nicholas Appert made the first reliable jarring,
okay.
that Louis Pasteur was available to demonstrate how the growth of microorganisms causes food to spoil. Yep. Prior to that, people knew that canning methods worked, but not why.
Sure.
So it was a very copper IUD situation.
Yeah. Ooh. Sorry, rabbit trail. I just found out today that 2 years ago in 2000, or a little over a year ago in 2022, they figured out how silver eels reproduce.
Just the silver ones?
Well, I mean, I assume most eels. But you know how we were like...
Share with the class.
I think this would be an update. I think on one of our listy dudes...
was I.
Yeah, you were like, we don't know how eels make more eels.
Yeah, man.
Turns out that they... Female eels go to a spawning area,
yes,
and just carpet bomb eggs, like millions of eggs, and then male eels swim by and drive
buckshot.
By carpet bomb the area with fertilization material for like fish jizz, eel jizz, and then whichever eggs get fertilized
sure.
and reach maturation.
So is that what they keep in like the giant eel orgy ball?
that they do?
Probably.
Got to protect the babies. That makes sense. I wouldn't. Eels are weird.
Yeah.
Why would they not reproduce in a very odd fashion?
Yeah.
Let your freak flag fly, girl. They're
dickfish, so.
Yeah, dickfish. Get it.
Anyway, so.
Back to canning. Back to canning.
Mm-hmm.
So, with Louis Pasteur now making canning and jarring even better, you know, these developments, by the time the U.S. Civil War hit, glass with metal clamps, instead of the wax, they were replaced by rubber.
Gotcha.
So the little snap and seal little doodles. These jars are still available today. Mm-hmm. I have many.
You sure do.
And they all vary in size.
Mm-hmm.
In 1858, John Mason invented a glass container with a screw-on threaded mold at the top of it with a lid that had a rubber seal.
Mm-hmm.
Wire-clamped jars, such as Lightning and Atlas jars, were used in the late 19th century until 1964.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
Yeah. In the late 1800s, William Charles Ball and his brothers got into the food preservation jar business and began buying up smaller companies. Weird. They quickly became a leader in the industry. Alexander Kerr invented easy-to-fill wide-mouth canning jars in 1903, which the Ball brothers quickly stole and duplicated.
Yeah.
Later in 1915, Kerr developed the idea of a metal lid with a permanently attached gasket.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Like, well, he wasn't the first one, but he was the first one. In America, he was the first, you know, America number one.
Attached that was a lot of soft whisper mumbles that I'm pretty sure no one's going to be able to understand.
I was just mumbling like an old patriot man. Just, gotcha. America number one.
Gotcha. So you're alleging that possibly other places figured it out first and we just
read it.
Well, I sorry.
Earlier. Yeah. So, yes, sir.
Gotcha.
America. Kerr came up with the metal disc and a smaller gasket held in place by a metal ring. Therefore, bada bing, bada boom, our modern canning lids that we really are used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah, it's a cool brief history.
You know, thing. So now I wanted to tell you about some weird shit that's in cans.
Cool.
Okay? And, like, this is no shade to, like, cultural foods or what have you. And if I am being a total fucking racist or xenophobic bitch, please correct me. I love to learn. So if this is not just like a jackassery food.
Sure.
If this is a cultural food and I am not painting it. And I'm being insensitive. Please let me know. Because that is not my intent. These were the ones that struck my fancy from a couple of lists.
Sure.
So, all day breakfast.
Okay.
In a can.
Doesn't sound bad.
If you think McDonald's all day breakfast sounds like a bad idea, which before COVID, that's something that we lost to COVID, was the all day breakfast here in Indiana at least. Because they had breakfast 24 hours and then they were like, so sorry.
Well, they had a select few items that were all day breakfast, right?
I don't know. I remember it. Breakfast all day. But Mandela effect.
I was going to say, because, like, isn't that a thing on Adams and Ams? Anyway, it's not important. Doesn't matter.
I have no idea.
So, all day breakfast in a can, huh?
In a can. Yeah. So, it's a full English breakfast in a can.
Oh, no. American breakfast in a can, please.
It includes pre-mixed combinations of baked beans, sausages, button mushrooms, chopped pork, bacon, cereal. I don't know that we have the same thing called cereal. And then something else that are called egg nuggets.
Cool. What's an egg nugget?
I don't know. I didn't have the stomach to look it up.
I think this one's much more gross to you because you hate food touching.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
So, like, I feel like this is going to be the most demure on the list.
Probably. You could probably handle it. It would just come out like refried beans. Like, that's all I'm thinking. Like, just like a, you know?
Yeah, but I'm here for like a Thanksgiving dinner sandwich, and I'm here for like a breakfast bowl, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I've made you many a breakfast bowl.
Oh, I love a breakfast bowl. Just imagining that, though, like in the breakfast bowl, I'm good. It seems moist, and I'm not, I don't know how much of a fan I am for that. So our next strange item that I found, it is a delicacy in Mexico.
Okay.
It has a funny name.
Okay.
So that is why it really ended up on this list. So
your white pronunciation of it sounds funny.
No. No, the English translation is hilarious to me.
Gotcha, okay.
But no, I forgot to practice this word.
Oh, thank you.
I've
done something right.
Who lit la chochi? Chochi. HUITLACOCHE. Yeah. So the English translation is corn smut.
Corn smut.
Correct. Okay. Which I loved. So.
Someone's been a naughty colonel.
A naughty, naughty colonel. Oh, I hate it.
He's going to rub butter on you and heat you up until you pop. It's corn smut, right?
Corn smut. There's more than corn smut in Indiana.
There is still corn smut.
But there's plenty of corn smut. Please take some.
The fields have ears.
Cassie
hated that. Ribbed for her pleasure.
So.
Let me just rip off this husk and slip into something more comfortable.
You're being really corny right now.
Oh, that was a good one.
Amazing.
Yes.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
All right. So, the native pronunciation, yes, of this, of corn smut.
Of what, like wheatle coche or whatever it is?
Yes, is actually a plant disease caused by a fungus that grows on corn.
Okay.
Yeah.
You smear that shit on toast, right?
You can use it for anything.
Okay.
I guess. I think it's a side dish, but.
I thought you meant use it for anything like, you know, Vicks Vapor Rub or like Vaseline or like petroleum jelly. Like,
listen. I'm not saying you can't.
Right? Yeah.
I try anything.
You need to grease up that.
Try it once.
You need to grease up that door hinge. Fucking squeak it too much. Throw some corn smut on it.
Corn smut. That's your answer.
You got a chest infection? Rub it on your feet. Put some socks on. Sleep in it.
Corn smut. Yeah. It's packed with protein and contains lysine, which is an essential amino acid. Goya.
Mm-hmm.
Produces this. Gotcha. So if you are looking for some corn smut near you, check your
local tienda.
Yeah, there you go. All right, moving on. Sandwiches. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Like, in a can.
In a can?
Yeah.
Ah, this is weird. The same coworker who told me about Marnie Baumeister told me that he was somewhere. Now I don't remember where, but it was this place where they had burger in a can.
Yeah. That is a subsection underneath sandwich or canwich.
Canwich?
Yes.
A sandwich is a sandwich, but a canwich is a meal.
The next episode of GGS better fucking be sponsored by canwich.
Well, I might get copyright infringement because manwich, that was their slogan back in the day.
Whatever. I'm sure a patent's up at some point. Hmm. So, can you not refrigerate your shit at work?
No, I sure can't.
Do you find it hard to put something in between two pieces of bread?
I sure do.
Well, then canwich, as seen on TV, is the answer for you.
I don't think it is.
There are three of a kind
there are
of
three,
sandwich
three
cans.
Three different varieties?
There are. There is PBJ.
Okay, I'd be down.
This is the only potable one that I could probably do. And then we have bacon cheddar.
Okay.
And barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pop it open and
I
pop it
swear,
in your mouth.
I swear to God. Like,
and feel bad about yourself.
I don't know if I'm just broken in the brain, but I'd try all of these so far.
We have a few more.
All right. Keep going, but you're not scaring me.
Listen,
yet.
Don't. We'll make it a goddamn Instagram thing.
Do
we'll
it.
Make some
Order
reels.
The shit.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Samuel, you'll probably do this one. This one's a funny name. Mm-hmm. That's why it's kind of a classic.
Sure.
I think that anybody will know this one.
Vienna sausages.
Sponge cake. No, but they're shady.
I would
we'll never eat them ever.
I was going to say, I would rather do these than eat Vienna sausages, personally.
Gross, yeah. Sponge cake. Or if you're British, spotted dick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a traditional sponge cake pudding. Mm-hmm. It is very common.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say spotted dick. That's really about it. But if you're American, spotting a can on it, a can of it on a shelf, you know, at the Walmart.
Sure. Would be funny. Yeah.
Would be very funny. But I would taste this one.
Sure.
I would try this one. And I would try the PB&J canwich.
Mm-hmm.
That is it so far. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm new to the canned chicken game. Mm. I didn't know that there was canned chicken until I was like deep in my 20s. Like, there is canned tuna, you know, bumblebee mm-hmm. tuna. I knew that, but I didn't know that there was canned chicken because, my mom didn't use it. But now, apparently, she uses it all the time now. And I'm like, okay. Cool.
If you know the right way to church
yeah,
it
yeah.
up, you know.
And, like, some fine. People use it yeah. for their buffalo chicken dip. And I was sure, like, oh my God, I would have never known.
Yeah, super cheap.
So there's chicken in a can.
Yeah.
But not in the way that you're thinking.
Okay.
It's a full chicken.
That's a big can.
It's like a big yam can.
Oh, okay.
This thing. The picture is so distressing of it. Do you have your phone on you?
No, it's across
the room. No? Oh, my goodness. I have to do everything for you. Here you go. Go ahead and search whole chicken in a can.
Oh.
Because I, like, there is a slime or a gelatin slime that coats this chicken as it comes out.
Yeah, but it's only like $30.
It's, I never. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just can't do the chicken jelly that's on it. If you've like used canned chicken, you'll know. Like there's like a
it's good for like beer can chicken.
I know it's not. No, it.
You mean like that?
Bro. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, I hate it.
It's just the chicken juice is like partially congealed.
I'm aware. It's a texture thing.
Yeah, but I,
and, no.
It's just how it is when you pull it out of the can.
No. Mm-mm. No.
You're still not scaring me. I got everything on this list so far.
I know you do. I know you do. People say that whole canned chicken is good for soups, stews, and dumplings.
Sure, yeah.
So you can get it giblet free.
Yeah, who wants to eat chicken balls?
So funny. The next one is one that I have eaten and I enjoyed very much when I did eat it.
Okay.
I don't eat it anymore because I think my fucking toes would fall off, but deviled ham. Mm-hmm. I don't know that everyone will know what deviled ham is. So the original term deviled originated in the 18th century when it referred to heavily seasoning foods with pepper and or mustard. Mm-hmm. Well, deviled ham consists of literally finely minced ham and saison. Like, mm-hmm. just some seasonings. Mm-hmm. So, although canned meats have a bad reputation as mystery foods, laden with chemicals, usually it's just brown sugar cured ham and a blend of spices of mustard, turmeric, and many others. Nice. So my mom would make ham salad like for like picnic-y stuff or like whatever, but she churched it up. Like, you know, onions and celery and what have you. What have you. But it, I ate it a shit ton of it as a kid. And mom was like, yeah, you ate a shit ton of it because we were poor. And it was like 19 cents. Mm-hmm. And I was like, listen, I still love Hamburger Helper to this day.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just had Helper.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, I wouldn't eat it anymore today. Like we would have to get my wedding ring surgically removed from my fucking finger. It would swell over like my fucking nose ring did in college.
You're funny.
I'm sure I've told it. My skin is not good for piercing. Fucking, I got a nose piercing from a guy who looked like Chuck Norris, but like if he didn't use the Bowflex, if he just like stopped one day. Yeah, within like 2 weeks, it grew over the stone and I had to pull it out through my nostril, like not the correct way.
Sure.
Yeah. In the dorm of my fucking college.
Yeah.
Super Christian college. For? If you're not ripping nose rings out your face. Ooh,
all right. So what you got?
The last one that I have.
This better be good because.
It is good. It's good. But not in. Yep. So, cheese.
Okay.
So, we all know that there's already canned cheese, right?
Yeah, the nacho kind.
Yeah, and Cheese Whiz, Kraft Easy Cheese, and nacho cheese. Well, now there's science cheese.
Science cheese.
Yes, sir. Washington State University Creamery is known for a little ditty called Cougar Cheese.
Okay.
It's for their
mascot.
Thank you. And it's a goddamn scientific Merkle.
I thought it was from aged moms.
Yeah. It has a MILF on the can.
Yeah.
A little cheese knowledge for you. It's generally not a great idea to can natural cheeses.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The bacteria that turns milk into cheese produces a lot of carbon dioxide.
Right, so it's going to pop the can.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Washington State University Creamery figured out that by adding a newly invented bacteria strain, that they could prevent the lactic acid bacteria used in cheese making from producing so much CO2. So you get yourself some TMNT cheese, and it comes in 9 flavors.
Sweet.
Yeah. So get yourself some science cheese.
Sounds like I have some cans to purchase.
Oh, my God.
And we have some videos to make.
We will. Daddy made you your favorite open wide. Here comes the content. It's a beautiful day to watch Sam eat canned foods.
Yep.
That's going to be the opener for it every time. Well, that's all I have about canned foods at the moment.
That's all you got about canned foods. Look, I'm excited to try this shit.
Hey. Okay.
I mean, I'm probably going to hate it, and it's probably not going to taste good, but I'm down for the experience.
Look at you. You know what? You're a go-getter, Samuel.
I'm a very adventurous person.
You are. I would say that you are. I used to did.
Yeah. I stayed fun. So.
Oh, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, you son of a bitch. All right, what do you got for us in the Silkwood Saga?
All right, so now we're on to part 5, Cinco.
Oh, my God. All right, do you have the briefest of, like...
Yeah, so where we left off, we left off with the problematic fact memorandum from the Justice Department.
Problematic.
From the Justice Department.
It's a problem.
Yeah. Remember, it was like 4 pages long when they're usually like over 100 and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They were like,
bing, bang, doom, done. Case closed, bitch. Suck it,
mic drop.
She was in
a car, and the car was traveling at approximately 45 miles per hour when there was another car.
Oh, no.
And then... there were no other cars,
no
and
other
she
cars,
was sleeping.
Possibly a super strong wind, and then she fell asleep.
Bigfoot. It just says in like 30, no, it would have to be like 72 print font.
Yeah.
Bigfoot, and then it just goes back to whatever else in the report.
Yeah. So that's where we left off, right?
Okay.
And Larry, our boy Larry Olson, definitely... wasn't satisfied.
It's real hard finding pictures of Larry Olson.
I bet. So he kept things going by contributing to a chapter in a book written by a journalist named Jackie Srugi, which I kind of brought up earlier on one of the previous episodes. He had worked with her before, and like we may come back to it if she resurfaces, but it was kind of like a nothing burger.
Sure.
Section of the story, at least as of right now. So now we're going to switch gears and introduce another character into this story.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
Welcome to the story, Kitty Tucker.
Of course, Kitty Tucker.
Which I kind of want to be my drag king name.
I love this.
Not Dick Tucker. Tucker.
Yep. Kitty Tucker.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Anyway. No, I got you, girl.
So she is a 32-year-old law student who worked as the legislative coordinator for the Washington, D.C. chapter of NOW, also known as the National Organization of Women.
Okay. I was like, after.
Now what?
Later.
Right. So she originally read about Silkwood's passing in the Washington Post, and she was intrigued, and she kept following coverage on the case through major publications like New York Times and Rolling Stone and stuff, to the point where she became borderline obsessed. Some described her as a walking encyclopedia of the Silkwood case.
That's amazing. And I've never experienced anything like that in my life.
Oh, yeah. No, never.
Never.
No, you've never had an obsession that you just like delved and devoured any knowledge of it.
No. Nope.
Anyway.
Oh, well, at least it goes. You know, yeah. Like it doesn't stick around forever. Like sure. For me, you know, I get
you get the as comings obsessed and the goings. As Dory can.
It's true.
So, Kitty had empathy for Silkwood and saw her as a heroic figure, not just for the anti-nuclear movement that was growing, but also the labor movement and women's liberation as well. But most importantly, she saw an unsolved murder.
Murder. Bum, bum, bum.
So after consulting with her husband, an environmentalist named Bob Alvarez, she sent her concern up the ladder to Sarah Nelson, another character in this story.
Okay.
Now, Sarah Nelson was the labor task force coordinator for now, but on the national level.
National Labor Task Force Coordinator.
Yeah. Okay. So Kitty works for the DC chapter.
If you give me about 2 minutes of silence, I can probably figure out the acronym for it.
Okay. So Kitty works for the DC chapter and Sarah Nelson works on the national level of now. She sends it up to Sarah Nelson, and after meeting with Kitty, or after a meeting with Kitty and her husband, Bob Alvarez, Sarah Nelson and another official from NOW, they decided that the National Organization of Women was officially going to take up the cause.
Bam, bam, bam.
So, on August 26th, Kitty, Sarah Nelson, and the president of NOW, Karen DeCrow, got a meeting with Phil Weilands, the Justice Department guy who got Goldstein to write the fact memorandum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John Keeney, who we talked about, that Phil Weilands sent his memo to before the fact memorandum, who was the Deputy Assistant Attorney General.
Okay, yeah.
So, these two guys who we've already talked about, and two other officials with the Justice Department. So,
oof, we're getting the whole goddamn band back together.
Right. So, in this meeting, the Kitty Cats, I came up with that name.
It's fabulous.
Thank you. You're I thought welcome. You would appreciate it.
It's fabulous.
Because Kitty Tucker. Anyway, yeah, I'm clever.
Yeah.
So the Kitty Cats confronted these officials and demanded to know why the case was closed.
Yeah.
The
they got claws.
Yeah, these kitty got claws.
That's exactly how a cat sounds.
Yep. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm part cat, so.
Yeah, you are.
So, the officials kept trying to reference the fact memorandum, and...
No, guys, we've already... No, we have it right here.
Right.
For you. Would you like a copy? We have multiple. It's only 4 pages. We're happy to...
You need some reading material?
Yeah. So, the Kitty Cats kept pointing out why the fact memorandum was bullshit.
That is grade A. Bullshit.
In Kitty Turner Tucker's words, quote, they started to get irritated.
No way.
And they told us we must be watching too much television because in real life, all crimes are not solved. End quote.
Inspiring. Oh my God. Listen. We don't have to do anything. You know that, right? What the fuck?
So the Justice Department's strategy was to tell 3 passionate, educated, and professional women to calm down and watch less TV.
I'm sure they did just that.
Yeah, you think so?
Yep. They were totally chill. They went home and... picked up embroidering.
And that's what happens every time I tell a woman to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So the kitty cats, who were appropriately insulted, did not calm down and watch less TV.
Good.
They held a press conference.
Oh.
In which they referenced the fact memorandum and branded it a cover-up.
Oh, this is officially grade A bullshit.
Yeah. So then the kitty cats had now members start a petition drive, and they began asking for contributions and searched for allies in as many feminist, labor, and ecology groups as they could find.
Hell yeah, sister.
With the end goal of drumming up enough public attention and outcry to prompt a congressional investigation.
Yeah, we're going to make enough fucking noise and so much of a stink that you can't waft us away, baby. We're smelling up all these parts. I'm going to have to get a plumber.
You're so fucking weird.
They're not all winners, Sam. I feel like I let you, the listener, down. I'm sorry, that one was shitty.
Finished it out.
Strong.
Okay. Way to bring it back.
Thank you.
So, in late September, Kitty Tucker and Sarah Nelson called Karen Silkwood's parents.
Oh, yeah.
Now, her parents, naturally and unfortunately, blamed themselves for not urging her to come home stronger and sooner.
Oh.
Apparently, Karen called the day before the crash. Her mother said, quote, "She didn't tell us what she was doing, but she sounded scared."
No.
And she said she was going to come see us as soon as she finished a few things first, end quote.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's very
That's
sad.
That's so sad.
The next day, they found out about Karen's death. After they found out, they read A.O. Pipkin's report.
Ah, yeah.
And they also suspected she was murdered.
Because she was clearly murdered.
Her father, quote, "Coincidences like that just don't happen."
I would have to agree, Papa Silkwood.
Yeah. Now her dad, Bill Silkwood, was a red-blooded American and felt that the FBI was the pinnacle of integrity in criminal investigation.
Boy,
and
wasn't it, though, back in the day?
No. Sure fucking wasn't. So, he was excited when the FBI took up the case. Like, quote, "I was sure the FBI would get to the bottom of this."
I've got...
Like, spoiler alert, we already know the answer.
I've got a hard truth for you, okay? How you do with pills? So it's going to be hard to swallow.
Now, unfortunately, he was very much crushed when the Justice Department supported the FBI's dropping of the case. Quote, "I don't know why, but the FBI has let us down. I can't even get a copy of the FBI report," end quote.
Wow. I bet he could now.
Yeah, probably not. Probably still redacted. So Kitty and Sarah invite her parents to a NOW conference in Philadelphia.
Oh,
and man. On October 25th, Karen was presented with a posthumous honorary membership to NOW.
No.
And the crowd fell silent as Merle Silkwood came up and accepted on behalf of her daughter.
Oh.
And on November, now fast forward, on November 13th, a few weeks later, 1975, the first anniversary of Karen's passing. NOW proclaimed it as Karen Silkwood Memorial Day.
Oh, what a wonderful organization.
And 4 days later, because it happened during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So on that weekend, 4 days later, around 300 activists gathered on the steps of Capitol Hill to hold a candlelight vigil.
Aww. She would have loved that. She would have been participating in that.
Bill Silkwood addressed the crowd, emotion causing his voice to break at times. Quote, "We taught Karen to speak up when she saw something that was wrong. Maybe that's why she's not here tonight. But her death will not have been in vain if you all speak up now and don't let her killers get away." End quote.
Yeah, Papa Silkwood.
And I know this is a short one, but that's where I'm going to leave off because the next one's going to be longer, I promise. But there was no good way to start the next section without, like, devoting
more time than we got. Yeah, I believe, yeah.
I got to put the breaks in where they happen naturally, all right? But
you got to stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to, you know?
Yeah, but how...
Really got to flow.
Such a bad idea for the Justice Department to be so dismissive and insulting to...
To something that is quite a big deal. Like, it's not a small amount
of
plutonium missing from this fucking...
Well, and not even just that. Just like, okay, you want traction on any fucking activist movement whatsoever, like, get women involved. Because, like, as soon as you piss them off and, like, there are so many labor actions and just, like, activist movements in our history that, like, were kept their forward momentum moving because... Honestly, women got involved and they were like, no, we're part of this too. Oh, you're going to say that.
Relentless.
To me. Oh, you want to see crazy, motherfucker?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll show you fucking crazy.
women's
suffragettes in British history? Holy fuck, dude.
Yeah, man. They were fucking gangsters.
They were taking fucking jujitsu lessons and shit.
And then I'll stab you with my fucking hat pen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were, like, hiding weapons in their clothes. I'll give you a goddamn lobotomy. And shit. Oh, dude,
this bird has a laser. Bird on my hat? Laser.
Dude, there was, like, a fucking... Oh, God, there was a strike about... or a boycott of, like, butchers in a major city. I forget what it was, but, like, there were women who were involved in, like, this action... And they were like, no, go home. You're not part of this. And they, long story short, I'm pretty sure there's some point in the story where, like, these women are, like, hitting men over the head with, like, logs of, like, sausage and shit.
Getting pistol whipped by a summer sausage?
Basically.
At Peckridge Farms. But, Peckridge Farms.
I'll have to find the episode.
Finds you.
You're funny.
Thank you.
The dollop covered it on an episode. I just remember laughing and like, yeah.
Meat log beaterations.
So I'm not sure exactly how we get there, but I know I've referenced or read like a congressional investigation happening, and I'm pretty sure they could have staved it off if they had not been so dismissive of these three women who came to meet with you, Justice Department. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Shit the bed.
I mean, it is, I believe it's a golf term, par for the course.
Well, sure, yeah, but...
of FBI fuckery.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, FBI agent listening.
You know.
Like, follow, if anyone, subscribe.
I was going to say, if anyone knows, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. All right. The saga continues.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just reuse that title name? I don't know. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to workshop it here in post.
We're going to have to start adapting titles of Dune books at this point.
Hilarious.
Chapter House Silkwood.
Yes. Or what's that other one that's a really long series, Wheel of Time?
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. Well, Samuel. Do I have a get that shit for you?
I don't know, do you?
I do. So, to I doodles.
I do.
Oh, gosh. There's another thing that I forgot to practice.
Pronunciation-wise?
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to pronunciate someone's name incorrectly. That one was purposeful. Oh, okay. I promise. I don't want to pronounce
it. This particular child was not left behind.
Not in this case. So, can you read the top? His.
I mean, it's Daniel, I assume.
But with an A instead of an E?
Yeah, with an A.
Okay.
I think so.
Because my brain wasn't braining, and I was like, I really want to talk about this amazing art, but I believe that it's Daniel Ryan, and he's an artist.
Yeah, he is.
He has fabulously absurd fat ass cat prints. They run from about $15 to, I think I saw like $35 to $46. Yes, he has these large, extra, extra, extra large cats that are doing very human things. But yeah, one of them has like an elf bar and he's fucking just took a little fucking hit. He has a Godzilla one. So cute. But if you are a lover of amazing and unique art, and or a lover of fat ass cats,
it is pretty fucking spectacular.
Yes,
guys.
I will. I'm putting it up on time this time. I'm getting better. I promise. Like, this is, we're doing it. We're fucking doing this. So, on Instagram.
Oh my God, there's one riding a jet ski.
Yeah, there's cowboys or meow boys. They're so cute. Fat little cowboys. They're so cute. Art of Daniel Ryan, Danial. And oh my God, there's four of them and they're sharing a paps. Oh my God, they've got little hats on. I love them. So we're going to need some new art here, Samuel. But you can go on Instagram for the Art of Daniel Ryan or Etsy. Follow them. Look at their link tree. Get yourself or someone you know who will love absurdly fat ass cats doing human shit.
And look out, Anne and Isaac. You might be getting one of these as like a Christmas gift or something.
Oh my goodness. So. It's very, very good. Very good. I think that we need to mention again Mercury Stardust.
Yes.
And Jory's
TikTok-a-thon
for Point of Pride. It is March 29th. And you can donate now.
Through the 31st. Which this will be coming out on the 30th. So you can donate today and tomorrow as
no.
well.
No. Good, sir. Oh, today I'm, is, yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Never nope. mind. My brain's
nope.
Dumb.
We have a whole nother week. So nice. You can donate now.
I don't know why.
And you can also, I don't know, me either, me girlfriend. Either. Yeah, me weird. Either. It's all right. You just want to get to Easter.
Yeah. Zombie
the
Jesus Day.
Holiest of holidays. I can't wait. But yeah, make sure that you guys keep your peepers peeled mm-hmm. for that. And if you can, it goes to a wonderful, wonderful cause. Point of Pride, they help provide gender affirming care, healthcare for our trans brothers and sisters and non-binary nibs.
Yeah. And also, if you, like so many people, do not have the ability to give what you feel is a large, substantial amount of money, one, every little bit helps.
Totally.
You know, number two, if you don't feel in a place where you can give monetarily, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Thoughts and prayers sometimes, man.
But you can also, like, tune into their stream and just, you know, leave it on.
Interact,
so, like,
share.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get it out there for more and more eyeballs to get on it.
Exactly. So even if you don't contribute monetarily, there is ways to contribute and raise awareness. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Look in our Instagram. For our posts for more information. I'm pretty sure that I can make that part of the link tree. I'm a smart cookie.
I think you can handle it.
Made the fucking link tree in the first place. So
you're pretty dope.
This DIY fucking train over here.
Yeah.
Alrighty, alright. Well, while you are searching for the perfect fat ass cat to add to your collection of art, make sure that we are in your earballs. You can find us on all the different streaming platforms, including Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the other shit.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you stop by our Instagram at GTS_podcast. While you're there, make sure you do all the like, the follow, subscribe, so we can continue to grow our shit. Check out our link tree to find our website, episode resources, and more. Give us a holler if you have a small business you want to hype or a topic you don't want to do homework on. Send all your shit to getthisshitpodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Boom. That was clean.
That was pretty clean.
Fucking clean. Hire me. Hire me. See, I got range.
Yeah,
I got range.
So
I did French earlier today.
You do a great Denzel.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know where we were going. probably Jamaican. That's where it always ends.
That's
where it always ends, comrade. It's real weird to get there from Russian, but
okay.
You know.
Any make a left at Albuquerque, right?
Yeah, make a left. Make sure. All right, comrades. thanks for listening. You guys are the best.
Yeah.
That's all I got. What about you? Woof. Come
Jesus,
on.
Jesus loves everybody.
And I that.
Easter is the reason for the season
God
or something. I don't know.
Damn it. Love and light it on fire.
Yeah. I love you guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Brain fart.
Awkward palm tree.